Well, I'm back again. And I'll tell you why. It's because of that scripture. Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. I mean, you know it's one that's one of my favorite, but I just can't let it go. It's kind of like it's just not letting me go either. You know, I cannot just shake it off me. So I've actually got more of it. So it's the kind of, it's for me, it is that overlying theme. And I really believe it's such a word for us now. And for me, it's what I'm trying to grapple with, get to become a reality in my life. Isaiah 61, 60 verses 1 to 3. I'm not going to preach from it, but that's the overlay. So just to remind you again of the scripture. Don't tell me. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See or behold, darkness covers the nations, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Something like that. And kings will come to your light, and nations to your rising. Now, I might have got the kings and the nations back to front there, but that's essentially what it is. And I am trying my hardest to get a hold of this verse, because the two things it tells me is that my light has come, that I am already past tense, ongoing, future, the light of the world. I am, you and I are. The Church of Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus said it. We know this. So it's all right, I'm kind of jumping into this. There's been no, I've broken all the rules of preaching. I'm supposed to give an illustration, blah, 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 but I'm just getting into it. It has come. We are it, because he is in us. If he is in us, and he said, you are the light of the world. That's a separate sermon. We'll do Matthew 5 another time. You are the light of the world. He's told us, you are the light of the world. No, not you are, Jesus. No, you are. It's the same kind of conundrum when he says to us, you go and heal them, but I can't. Too bad, I've told you, go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out, you know, heal the lepers, cast out all that thing. All the command he gave the disciples is ours. As the Father sent me, so I sent you. You heal them. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, they said, you feed them. What? You do it, but we can't. Well, I can't. I'm not the light of the world. Yes, you are. It's that thing, you know, that it's his glory that he wants to give us and to live in. His light is in us. We are the light of the world. Whether I feel good about it or not, whether I'm humming on all 654 cylinders I've got burning in me, I feel a terrible day I'm having. I'm still the light of the world. That's weird, isn't it? And his glory will be seen on you. Has risen, past tense, has risen. How many of you feel like the glory is shining on you right now? Put your hand up. Some of us. That's a naughty question, probably. But you know, but what that tells us is we're so dependent on how we feel and on how we are performing. Do you know what? For the most part, that's irrelevant. Because he doesn't say you are the light of the world when you get your act together. Thankfully. It doesn't say the glory of God has risen upon you and will be seen through you when you finally do enough prayer time in the morning, when you've witnessed to enough people that week. Doesn't say that. Has risen. Is on us. And here's the question. Imagine what it would be like. Think of this. Just imagine what it would be like if we really believed it and every day we really walked in it. Just imagine that. Imagine that. What would happen? I'll get to that. No, I won't get to it. I'll get to it now. It would be amazing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? It would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we'll kind of deal, the goal will be then to try and deal with some of the things is why doesn't it? Or why isn't it happening? Or what can we do? Because we are involved in the process. But having the right belief changes everything. Now, first time I talked about this, I talked about beholding the glory of God. We are transformed as we behold Him. What we focus on, we become like. What we focus our attention, we head towards. What we listen to comes out our mouth. What we put our eyes on, eventually it comes through our, you know, what we feed our hearts on comes out of us eventually. And so it's important what we feed on, because that's what that scripture means. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3, somewhere verse in there. But we will be transformed as we're beholding the face of the Lord. We are transformed from one degree of niceness. Glory! His glory. It is upon us, but that gives you the impression it can increase. All right, so we looked at that. The second time I talked about one of the things that holds us back from stepping into those things that God wants. This is, of course, the lost dreams, the hopes that are shattered, the disappointments that we've had. Like, remember, we talked about, and what do we do with those things? Because they will hold us down, and they become things that we're looking at. So that we're not looking at Jesus, we're looking at all our dreams and hopes and all those things we longed, and they're gone, they're shattered, and we're carrying grief in our heart. Remember, we talked about that. And thankfully, for some, it was helpful. I mean, I know it's helpful because I just shared from my experience of putting those scriptures into action and how it works. Right, today we're going to look at something else that can be a stumbling block to us. That can be if we don't see it and respond to it in the right way. See, I want to turn, I probably should have said this at the beginning. How many of you turned to Judges chapter 6? How many of you heard of Gideon? Most people have heard of Gideon. Gideon's my favorite guy in Judges. My favorite guy. I used to think, I really related to him. I used to think, I can connect with Gideon for a number of reasons. Don't now, I connect with another person in the Bible. You know, but Gideon used to be my favorite guy. So if you've got Genesis chapter, no, it's not Genesis, it's Judges. Judges chapter 6. So turn your iPhone to, and we'll zoom down quick. All right, hang on, we won't. First 10 verses are giving a context. This is the people of Israel. They've been mucking around. But remember, I think I said last week, we read earlier in Judges, and it said a generation arose that did not know the Lord. And basically, they forgot what God had done. They weren't remembering what God had done. So we're now in this generation. And so because they have becoming drifting away from the Lord, and enemies had come in, huge army had swamped in the area where Gideon lived, and they were basically taking everything. And so here we have what's called, in my thing here, the call of Gideon. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Ammonite's son here, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Okay, so the Midianites are just walking in like any invading army comes in, just come and take what they need. They just take what they need. A big army has to be fed. A big army needs food. A big army needs resources. So they just take it from the land about them. It's what happens in wars. It's just what happens. Not right, but it's what happens. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Or in one translation it says, "Mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, oh, mighty warrior. Now you'd think with that response, he'd go, "Oh, that's pretty good. you know, you get all pumped up, you know, and you see the rugby players get like, I'm sure the English team got all pumped up as, oh, we can take these, oh, you know, before the game, and got all pumped up as mighty warriors, and they thrashed Scotland, which grieved me, because I'm part Scot myself. They got thrashed, it was terrible. What do you think? English played well. That choked as I said it. It says, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. And then Gideon says to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why? How many of you can relate to that? Yeah. I bet all of us can put a hand. God, if you're with me or with us, why in the fat has this happened? Yeah? Or this, or that, or 400 things that seem to have happened all row. Why has this happened if you're with me? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yeah, but, if, huh? Yes? Yeah. See why I related to Gideon? Oh, where the lights are going. And Gideon said, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers talked about? Well, come on, where's the miracles, Lord? You haven't done one for me for at least 2 years, etc., etc. Oh, oops, I'm in the road. Sorry. And then the Lord says to him, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? Go in the strength that you've got. Do I not send you? What strength did he have? No, not none. I have sent you. What strength did he have? The strength of God. I have sent you. Personally, yes, you're right. He hadn't, like we said before. I can't heal anybody, but God says, go and heal him. Well, because the glory of God's in me to do it. So I wasn't trying to tell anyone off. But he was supposed to hear, I'm with you. Go. But he didn't hear it because you can tell from his response. Now, here's another typical response. Used to be mine for years. Not quite so bad as I used to be. Please, Lord, because he's been fingered out. Yes, he says, you go and save Israel. You do it. He just whinged. How come on? How come? Well, you're going to do it. It's a bit of a shock to the system, isn't it? So next time you and I complain about something, the Lord might just say, well, you sort it out. No, I want you to sort it. No, I'm sending you. You sort it out. Now, this is not quite how I want the conversation to go. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Lord, I'm nobody. Yeah, my clan's the miserable weakest. Manasseh was a huge tribe, and we're the weakest. There's heaps of other families and tribes you could have gone to. Why me? This and I am the most, the least, the last, the nothing of my family. You've got to be kidding me. Seriously, you have got to be kidding me. Why me? You've made a mistake. Anyone feel like that? No, I'm not the light of the world. No, the glory of God isn't because I'm a nobody. Look at my life. It's a mess. I'm a this, I'm that, I'm a nothing, I'm bleep, 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 bleep. And all these things coming up about what we're not or who we think we are down there among the muck. The Lord says, go. Interesting, isn't it? The Lord said to him, but I, in that scripture it says, thick darkness covers the nations, but the Lord. There's always a but God, but I, but the Lord. But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midians as Midianites, as one man. Pooh. All right, go to chapter 7. We're going to miss out all the other bits. It's a great story. There's a whole other sermon, and there's tons of sermons actually speaking out of in Gideon, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to Now, here's the fun bit. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, this is the beginning of Judges 17, and all the people who came with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Harod, the camp of Midian, blah, blah, blah. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. From Mount Gilead, then 22,000 of the people returned. 10,000 remained. He's lost over half his army. Two-thirds of his army's walked off. Two-thirds, just up left. He's going, oh, whoa, 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 hold the train. Hold the train. Probably didn't matter. There was 100,000 of the other enemy who walked, and I can't remember was it the name was given. And he's just suddenly thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know if he's thinking this. I would be. No, hang on a minute. That's more than half. I'm gone. I'm left with 10,000 people. And I'm fighting this massive army, which is just as far as the countryside, that just the tent, you can see them. And I've got 10. have you noticed this gone? And the Lord said to Gideon, people are still too many. You can see his eye. What? Take them down to the water. I will test them there for... test them for you there, and anyone whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, etc., etc. So verse 6, he goes down to the, just pop down to verse 6. And the number of those who lapped, it's, don't worry about it, they just had to go to water and drink, and there was a difference between the way they drank the water. The number of those who lapped, put their hands to their mouth, was 300, but all the rest of the people knelt down to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go, every man to his home. So he's gone from 22,000 down to 10,000. Now, one horrible moment, he's gone from 10,000 to 300. Are you sure about this, Lord? Are you really sure about this? How many of you have said that to the Lord? I'm not sure about this. Are you, you know, we sort of question God and say, oh, you know, are you sure that's, you know, I don't know why we do that, like as if God's going to be wrong. You know, he said something to you and you think, are you sure? Well, no. Oh, gee, that's a good point. No, I'm not. You know, he's not going to give that answer to it. What we're really saying is, oh, shoot. Have I heard right? Have I heard God right? And if this really is happening, I'm terrified. All right. I want you to go with me. I think that's quite amazing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. The Lord has already hinted at the reason for this happening. I probably have sent you on too quickly. But anyway, he says back in verse 2, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into the hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. What was God wanting to do? He was wanting to, because Gideon's saying, how come all these miracles? Where are you? You haven't done anything. Blah, blah, blah. We've been 5, 10, how many years? You haven't done nothing. Where are you? And the Lord's trying to say, I'm right here. I'm actually here, Gideon. I'm right with you right now. You are the man. I'm with you. So he's saying, basically saying, Gideon, get rid of these guys because I'm going to show you that I am with you. Really? All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthenware vessels. Is that what it says? We got it up there? Ah, look at that. But we have this treasure in jars of clay or earthenware vessels to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's the only verse I want you to think about. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And yet the power is over us, and yet we are the light of the world. But the glory is always to go to the Lord. The Lord wants to show it's me that's doing it. It's all about me. We have this thank you. Look at that. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, the problem with saying jars of clay is that, oh, that gives me an excuse to think I'm just nothing. All that really means is you and I and Well, the stuff, what it is, except for our spirits, is actually made out of the substance of the earth, out of the water, out of the stuff of the sky, stuff of the earth. We are people of the earth. God formed us out of the earth. We are jays. We are jars. We are simply containers of this amazing treasure. Now, you might be like some people and say, oh, well, I'm a pretty cool-looking jar of clay. Hey, baby. You know, you know what I mean? You still look at me. Look at, here I am. I'm here. You know, woo-hoo, hey, glory. You know, we want our glory. Look at me. And the English team will probably, when they thrash Ireland next week, which I suspect they'll do. Hope they don't, but I suspect they will. They'll go, we are the greatest. Because they'll get the glory because of what they did. I'm not knocking that. I'm just using it as a very bad illustration. And the Lord will say to us, okay, fine. If you want to see yourself as an earthen, if you want to see your earthenware vessel, fine. I will let you have your glory. I will let you have your glory. Now, just before we delve on that too much, I want us just to remind us that while we are jars of clay, we are jars of clay of which are the greatest part of his creation. We are jars of clay that have been made in his image right back in Genesis chapter 1. Don't forget that. We are made in his image. And it says in John 3:16, we all know that God so loved the world, that which he made. We are powerfully, passionately, everlastingly, unendingly loved by God. Desperately loved by God. Powerfully loved by God. In spite of everything that we might do or not do, he loves us passionately, and we have to, and it's a hard thing for us to grasp. We have to live in that reality. When we drift away from it, we're like the boats on a sea that's being tossed about. Instead of being calm in the storm, we're tossed about in it. Same storm, we can be calm because we know he loves us. We can be tossed about because he don't. You with me? Passionately loved. But this is just the contrast. We have this treasure. We are the light of the world. His glory is upon us. That's the treasure. And what do we say? What did I say the glory was? The glory was the manifestation of who he is, of his grace, of his mercy, of his love, of his goodness, of his majesty, of his, are there any other things, of his power? All those things, that's what the glory is, the manifestation of his presence, of who he is. And he wants all of that to rest upon us. And he wants us to enjoy it. But he will not have people take it for their sins and say, this is mine. No, sorry, it's not. There's no way we can measure up to it for a start. But he wants us to share it. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He wants to give it to us and enjoy it and receive it, but not put our finger on and say, hey, this is mine, baby. This is mine. Look what I can do. I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. I'm pretty cool. I can just stretch out and multiply food. That's not what he wants. Paul goes on to say straight after that, oops, can we have the next one up? Because I haven't even got on my page. Yes, I have. I think I put it here. No, I didn't. Because he then goes up to show that this, oh, there it is. But we have the treasure. It's in the same verse, stupid boy. The surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I forgot. I thought it was the next verse. That's what it's there, to show that it all belongs to him. All belongs to him. And yet he wants us to be carriers of it. That's what we're made for. Remember I said at the beginning, that's what we were designed for. We were not designed for the struggles and the difficulties and all the pain that we go through. We weren't designed to carry that. We just weren't designed. That's why it hurts. That's why it's so hard, because we weren't designed for it. We were designed for this. We were designed for this treasure. We were designed for glory to be in us. It's what we were made for. He wants to come and live in us and his glory flow through us. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day, every day, every day. Every day, every day, every day. Oh, just get hold of this. John 15. Hopefully now we'll get to the crunch of what I wanted to talk about. Is it going to come up for me? There it is. Good. Sometimes things happen in our lives that are beyond our control. Well, probably lots of times. And sometimes they're from God and sometimes they're not. But he will use them for a particular purpose. He will use them for a purpose. I do not believe he sends sickness. I do not believe he lets people die just for the fun of it. If you've lost a child or any lost one for whatever reason, I don't believe that's God's will. I think God wants people to be born and to live to a ripe age. That's what I believe his perfect will is. But things happen in this world because he's given this world to us as a gift. He's given it to us. He said, here's the world, I give it to you. Rule, reign, have dominion over it. That was our commission. We had authority given to us. And, you know, go through the, you know, we gave it away. We said, no, thank you. You all know that story. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 1. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes that it may bear more fruit. All right, let's stop right there. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit takes it away. Won't dwell on that one. But the second bit. Every branch that does bear fruit he prunes. Snip. Really? We got verse 2 there? Yep. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Now, at the front of our house back in New Zealand, we had this fig tree that used to run rampant. I don't know how quickly fig trees grow over here, but this thing was a monster. I mean, it just grew quick, didn't it, honeys? I mean, you'd put it, sometimes it looked like about 2 meters every year would go on it, and it just took off. And one year it was just, you know, we could hardly see out our kitchen window, you know, our dining room window. It just got so huge. But the interesting thing is, because it had shot away so much, that it wasn't much fruit on it. It was funny. So we were fed up with this thing and then in autumn. So we're not used to this leaves thing here in New Zealand, because the majority of our trees in New Zealand are evergreens. It's only the ones that got imported from other places that are these. And this is one that drops its leaves. It's not a native tree. So of course, just a ton of good on our front lawn in 2 weeks, and when autumn comes. And of course, the bigger the tree, the more leaves are out to clean up. So we got the saw out and chopped, you know, masses of it back, just hacked the thing to bits, right? I mean, not because it was fun for the boys to climb around, and we did. And we chopped it back. The following year, we had one of the biggest crops we had ever, ever seen. And we sold them on the front of it. We just put a little stall out, and the boys sold them. They made a bit of money too, didn't they? It was quite a good money spell for about a month. Put a sign at the end of the road, and people came up. But it was the biggest number that we'd had ever seen on that tree. Crazy. We'd cut it back, and instead of growing branches, it grew fruit. Lots of it. The interesting thing, here's the point. Only growing, just because you get pruned, does not mean there's anything necessarily wrong. Because only growing trees get pruned. Only producing trees get pruned. You with me? Not dead ones, they get thrown on the fire. But producing trees are the ones that get pruned. I've also seen this. I don't know if I was told about it or seen. But there was a place where there was an apple tree. Was it one of our, I don't remember. But the, you know, the tree got, and there were lots of apples in there. And so the guy said, oh, this is the dumb little thing. Oh, what's the matter? And he pruned it all back. The following year, the crop came, and lo and behold, actually there wasn't as many apples. But do you know what? The apples that he got grew much bigger. And that's what he was after. Big, juicy things. Interesting, isn't it? So just because something happens, and pruning sounds rough, you know, snip, it's brutal. I mean, we just ripped into that tree and chopped the branches off. And I don't think there's anything delicate about it. They just rip the thing off. It can feel like that. The reason is because it's to produce more fruit. Now, On the one hand, we can go through difficult times, and some of it's just the grief and the pain, and we have to, and there's one way to release it. The other thing is, sometimes God's in those circumstances because he wants to prune us. Why? Because there's greater glory he wants to reveal for us. Because we can be kind of spread out, maybe doing lots of things. I don't know. Maybe there's things in our lives. I know for me, there's things in our lives that need to be fine-tuned, disciplined. You know, God, just get rid of that this is what I want to expand in your life. I want this area of your to expand. I forget that bit. This is who I've made you. This is what I want. I want this to grow bigger. So I'm chopping these bits off to make room for this to grow. Now, here's the thing. Don't mistake. Sorry. I was going to cough. You didn't want to cough in your ears. Don't mistake. We need to know what's going on. Now, are we as a church being pruned? I choose to think that we are. I choose to think that what is happening for us is because all of a sudden God wants us to carry a greater weight of glory than what we're seeing. God wants me. It's true for God. I know God has more for me. I keep praying for it. I want to see. I'm not seeing, you know, before I go home, Lord, there's things I want to see. There's things I want to see for this church. And so the Lord says, okay, I want to see that too. But let's just trim, let's just discipline bits of your life so you become more focused so that I can pour into this and make it bigger. You with me? Now, sometimes the pruning is not easy. Sometimes the going through it is difficult, but it could be God because he does allow hard times for that purpose. Not every hard time is necessarily from him. Sometimes I actually think he does. I actually think he does let things happen. Just, all right, yeah, this will do them good. Seriously? And we say, oh, God didn't. Well, you know, like I said, I don't believe sickness is a pruning. I don't believe those things are things like that. Sometimes I think loss of jobs is. Not always, but I think sometimes it is. But if you lose a job, he will use it. You with me? For he works everything together for good. So it's both and. So he will allow some things because he wants to work good in us. What's the goodness? That the light shines brighter through us. It's already shining. It's already in us. The light already is in us. Even if we work hard to kill it, it will still shine through us. Because any light in a dark place can be seen. And the world is dark, growing darker. But the brightness is getting brighter. But he wants to increase it. The glory over us. He wants us to be aware of it. He wants to walk in it. He wants us to be confident of that glory over us and increasing it. Paul talks in Galatians. Where are we? Done that for him. Just checking my notes, just making sure. Shine brighter. All right, here we go. Paul says, I think it's in Galatians chapter 3 something. Anyway, this is what he says. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. In other words, all our devout religious exercises don't count for anything in and of themselves. Taking communion doesn't count for anything in and of itself. I won't go too far, but I should come back to that and dwell on that. But, you know, circumcision runs, so I'm a circumcised, or, you know, religious activity in and of itself doesn't. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So the two things God is always at work in to increase in us, because that's what the glory and the light rides on and is released through us, is faith and love. Now, the two things, always, you can nail the two. What's God doing in my life? He's either trying to get us to love better or to have more faith, to trust them more. I think they're the only two things. That's simple, isn't it? You don't have to worry about 400 things. What's God doing? No, he's only doing two things. He's wanting us to increase our capacity to love and increase our capacity to trust him. I think. Otherwise, what does that verse mean? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It's in love that the light shines through us. It's in love that the glory is revealed. It's in faith that we trust in that glory, that we trust in those things and expect things to happen. So here's the point for today. What I said earlier, just imagine if we imagine, truly imagine, if we really, really, really believed that the light was in us, is in us. If we really believe that scripture, well, we already know that because we have this treasure. That's what the treasure is. That's what the treasure is. The treasure is Jesus in us. And if we've given our lives to Jesus, he's there. Then we might have splattered ourselves with mud, but he's still in there shining. Just imagine if we really, really, really believed it. And that everywhere we went, the light shining through, everywhere we went, the glory is being seen on us. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Can't imagine it. It's too much for me to imagine. Well, I can. I think I'm a bit of a ways from it. This is what it would mean. It would mean every day becomes an adventure. Think about it. Well, here I've got to go to the shops, buy the milk. Yes, frozen cold. Oh, hang on. Oh, I don't have to work hard. If I've got a list, I don't have to work hard to remember what I've got to buy. You know what I mean? Oh, so stop. Oh, hang on. The light of God, Jesus, is shining in me. His glory is over me. Lord, have you got an adventure for me here while I'm here? Yes? Yes? Here you are at work, for those of us who are working. Drudge. I'm going to do the same old. Whatever it is I do. Same old. Well, often same old doesn't take too much hard work to figure out. Not that we become sloppy in our work, because doing our work with a good attitude, right heart, often is where the glory shines through. You with me? I'm on that. But, the glory of God is on me, and the light of Jesus shines over me. Lord, today, do you have an adventure for me at work? Do you have an adventure for me when I go to this place? Do you have an adventure going for me when I go to whatever I'm doing, where there's other people, or where you might be? Do you have an adventure for me today? Because it's possible if we really believe it. Yes? Wouldn't it be great if we could get to that place? And this is my prayer for myself and for you guys, that we will get to that. We will be able to wake up every day, and I've started doing this. Feels funny, but I've started doing it. And I remind myself, I say, Ian, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. He is upon you. So shake off this negative feeling. Shake off whatever that your son's annoying you or that something's gone wrong. Shake that off, because the light of Jesus is in you and the glory of God is on you. Look for an adventure. There was a movie years ago. Who can remember Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that movie? Some of us can remember it. Just imagine, and if we started walking around and we started looking for close encounters of the kingdom kind. Yeah. Eh? Just every day, Lord, give me a close encounter. Give me a close encounter of the kingdom kind. Where we want it, where we encounter God, and he's over someone. We say, oh my God, here's my opportunity. And you can just simply start, because it's only faith and love. We can just start by loving people. See them do something, offer an encouragement. That was awesome. Dorothy. Tesco. Sorry? Dorothy at Tesco. Have we heard this testimony? No. Well, you might as well do it. You might as well give us one. Better than my one. I was going to talk about something else. It won't be as good as yours. No, it won't be.
Now, on Friday, because I'm trying to do what you say, give me an adventure, do this, do that, whatever. Friday I didn't, because I got to mum's and dad's and it was just stress after stress after stress. And I ended up taking mum shopping, but it was just a bit of a nightmare day. But God didn't care that I didn't ask. He just jumped right in there anyway, because there was a lady walking past, and she spoke to my mum. My mum's on a walker, so she was just talking, discussing this walker thing with my mum. As soon as she started saying, because she just ordered herself one, because she had this pain, that pain, she was just going through all her pains. As soon as she started to say, in my head, I'm going, oh, Jesus, 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 trying to walk away and wander, because my mum is there, which makes it harder for me to pray in front. But also it's like, oh, come on, I'm having a stressed day. And it's like, but this lady just continued to talk. My mum went off and bought ham. So in the end, I just said to her, okay, this is going to sound slightly outrageous, but I believe in Jesus that heals today, and can I pray for you? And she went, oh, I'm a Catholic, that's really good. Yes, does that matter? Sort of thing. No, that doesn't matter, it's fine.
Oh, well,
So, but I don't know if she expected me to pray there and then, but I just did a quick prayer there and then. So she asked my name, and then off she went.
Awesome.
But
come
it
on.
Was like, ah.
Does it have to be see the miracle happen before they know? Just anything that gets the name of Jesus out is enough. Because the name of Jesus is a light. The name of Jesus has power in itself. If you can just squeeze the name of Jesus out, Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you? And make sure you tackle on the name of Jesus at the end, because the name of Jesus is a light. And it's a seed that sows. Who was it that said we just read recently somewhere about not every apple is ready to fall from the tree? Where do we read that? I can't remember that. Not every apple is ready to fall from the tree. So don't worry if you don't get the thing. It's just letting the glory be shown. I mean, mine was not quite so. I wish I'd had that encounter. But anyway, when we were out in the streets a few weeks ago, there was this guy doing the rubbish collecting. You know, he had that sort of traffic-proof jacket on, the bright yellow thing, and he had this bag and one of those clippy things like that. And I said, that looks cool. Can I try that? So I grabbed it. And he said, yeah. So I grabbed the rubbish off. And so I said, this is fun. And I said to him, thank you for doing this job. It keeps this place clean. Not only does that, it makes a nice environment for us to come down here. And I said, thank you so much for doing this job. Can I pray for you? He said, yes. So I prayed a blessing on him in Jesus' name. And that's as far as it got. I don't know whether. But I figure, have some. You know, lift them up. It's encouragement. And I figured for me that was a close encounter. I wasn't thinking close encounters at the time, but that's what it is. So wouldn't it be fun to look at every day and say, Lord, give me a close encounter. I want a close encounter with you in someone else. I want a close encounter today where I get to love someone, where I get to. Pardon? Come on, Kenny. Isn't it good to see Kenny here?
Just quite him. Hello. Yeah, my name's Kenny anyway, so hello to everyone. My one was, right, I got on the train from Tylehurst this morning, planned to come up here and get off at Burnham Station. But somehow I missed Burnham Station. I don't know how. So I was chatting to people on the train. Just missed it completely. End up at Slough. So I got off at Slough. And then I ended up talking to a chap, sort of like, who's down now. Didn't have any money. Same as me. Exactly the same as me. Apart from I've got a roof over my head. He hasn't. So I was chatting and that, because I've given him some money anyway. And the thing was, the bus fare to get to here was £4. I think it was £4, yeah. And I sort of like looked at my pocket. No, I didn't have that money. But I'd given him money anyway. But I said, no, I'm not going to take that off of you. You know, I ain't going to do that. And I was chatting nicely and that. And then I put my hand in this pocket and I found the money for the bus fare.
Come on.
To get to here. You know?
Come on.
So, how's that work?
Come on.
You know?
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well,
thanks, Kenny.
Bless you, mate.
Come on, that's great. That's great. That's how it works. That's what, it's those kind of things that God is wanting to try and release in us more and more and more. So that every day
Just every week we come here to church, we say, can I share my close encounter? Can I share my close encounter? I had one this week. Oh, I had one this week. Huh? Close encounters. God prunes us so to release more faith, more love. Sometimes, remember in James he says, count it all joy because the trial of your character will produce. No, it's not. It's the trial of our faith. And we often think that the trials are trials of character. No, it's the trial of our faith. And as we push through in that faith, trusting him when all the evidence is saying this is ridiculous, but we still trust him, produces in us perseverance, which produces in us character, which produces hope. It's the trial of faith that produces character, which can then sustain the larger things that he wants to do in us. With me? We have to go through those trials to increase our faith. It's pruning. It's called pruning. To increase our love so that he can give us more. If we don't have that perseverance or the depth of character that perseverance produces, we will not be able to hold the greater glory he wants to give us. It will kill us. He doesn't want to kill us. He does not want to kill us. So he won't give us more than we can handle. It will kill us. What does that look like? Well, maybe just imagine someone comes in here with cancer and they get healed. Someone comes in, everyone for the next 4 weeks, everyone comes in here and they get healed of cancer. And next minute they're saying, you need to go to that church. That'd be glorious. In some ways you think that'd be glorious. Next minute we've got people lined up down the street coming in and we're overwhelmed. Next minute we're getting people, can you bring the people in your church and we'll pay them to fly to such and such a place because my auntie's got cancer and you need to lay hands on her. Because every time we pray, cancer gets healed. Every time. Could we sustain what that would happen? Would we cope? After a while, with the intense pressure of people expecting us to perform. That's what it could get to. You with me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure we could. It might be fun for a few months, but boy, I think word would get out. Go there, everyone gets healed of cancer. They don't at Bethel. Yet Bethel have cried out for a cancer-free zone for their city for years. They don't. And that's one of the highest number of miracles that I've ever seen happen is in that church. I suspect that. They don't yet. Although the interesting thing is, Heidi and Roland have prayed for a malaria-free zone in Pemba, and there's never been, and they've finally got to the point where there's no malaria in there. But that's only one of the things. They still don't get all the miracles of the other things. They have success in some, but don't in others. But God wants to increase our capacity to contain more. More. I want to see the more. I want to see more people set free. I want to see more people swept into the kingdom. And I believe with the way things are moving in our world today, there's an openness now to the gospel. There's an openness to the gospel that there hasn't been in England, around the world, before. So don't be afraid also to just share Jesus with someone. Tell your story. Tell your story. There is an openness to the gospel in this country, probably around the world, such as never been seen. Anyway, I'll leave that for another. So take a risk. Go looking for close encounters of the... Like, I'm trying to think, is it kingdom kind? I want a good catchy thing for it. I like close encounters. Who likes close encounters?
Yeah.
Well, I do. I think it's catchy. Not of the alien kind, but of the kingdom kind. Close encounters. So every morning wake up, Lord, have you got a close encounter for me? Even if you're feeling stink, even if something's gone wrong and your best glass fell out of the cabinet and smashed on the ground and it's been an heirloom and it breaks on the ground, you go, no! The light of Jesus is still in us. His glory still shines upon us. Sweep it up. Oh, well. Give me a close encounter today, Lord. Yes? And just remember the difficult times are often pruning. Pruning. Why? To increase our capacity. Like those apples, that the fruit gets bigger. He wants us to hold more, to cope with more, to grow more in the glory and contain the glory that's in it. He wants to increase it. The key is gazing. As I said before, I'll finish with this. If you read down, I've said this before, if you abide in me, it's all about being joined to the branch, same thing. Paul talks about gazing upon the Lord and we'll be transformed. It's abiding, being stuck to, joined, just letting his sap flow into us. If you cut yourself off from the tree, then that's done. Just abide, just remain in him any way you can. Worship, read the book, trust. Trust is one of the biggest issues. Trusting God when the evidence says no, that's abiding in the Lord. Oh, I'm at the end of my message. So, Father, we bless you and we praise you. Spirit of God, you are the one in whom all the glory comes to us. You are the one who lives in us. You are the one who we desperately need to be able to reveal Jesus to this world. So, Lord, we ask for an impartation. We ask for increasing in us the awareness of the light that's in us, the awareness of your glory already over us, that covers us, that sits on us. Give us eyes to see, Lord, the things that you could do. Help us, Lord, to see every day as an adventure, as an opportunity for a close encounter with you as we see you touch another person's life. Or as we simply encounter you in different ways, in different places, and in different people. And help us to understand when things happen that we can take them and give them to you and you turn them into blessings. You can take any dull hand, a pair of twos, as Colin once said, you can take a pair of twos and beat any hand that gets dealt before him because you're God. Lord, we welcome the pruning because we want to see the greater things. We want to see the greater things. Just help us to have joy in the midst of us and expectation of what you want to do through us. Release upon us, Lord, today more. We want to see the more of God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are doing as we go through our days, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Have a great week.